The following is a presentation of Remnant.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Frank Garcia.
I'm going to miss all of you. I pray God will continue to use you here in Remnant. This will probably be my last sermon here this Sunday. You'll get to hear me make more drumming noise for the following few weeks. I move over there in July. But pray for my wife and I, as I pray for you and your body in Christ in here, amen? Battleship. Battleship. I chose this topic because it's like this. I don't want to sugarcoat scripture for any one of you in this building. There's a lot of churches that preach happy sermons. Nothing wrong with that. But it's clearly proven through scripture, through history, up till right now where you're at and where I'm at. You're either going into a battle, you're in a battle, or you're getting out of a battle. That's the cycle of life. But the most important thing for all of us as followers of Christ is how are you going to receive that battle? Good attitude or bad attitude? Pro or con? No matter what, we're all going to face battles at one point in time in our lives. Jesus says, in this world, you will have troubles. They gave Jesus a hard time. They're going to give us a hard time. But let this not discourage you. Let this strengthen you. Because there's more to this battle than you know. And we will find out this morning where most of it, if not all of it, projects and has been birthed from. Amen? I will be reading out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. I don't own a Holman Christian Bible translation, so I wrote it down. And I like this translation simply due to the fact that it has the word battle in it, which we'll be talking about today, battles in life. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Holman Christian Standard reads like this. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. You notice the very ending there. It says to take your stand. Stand. Not open your mouth. Not do much. He just says stand. I like that. Period. Let's pray. God, thank you for this great morning. Thank you for Remnant Church. Holy Spirit, fill this place. Holy Spirit, start moving in these hearts, in this body, in these people, your children. Bless, heal, restore, and grow, and do great things here in this body, God. Lord, speak to us something fresh and new. Holy Spirit, grab a hold of our thoughts and our mind right now, and let us hear from heaven what you have to share and tell us and instill in us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Battleship. This game is, you know, if you've played it, if you go far back in those years like I do, Some of these kids don't know the game. It's just a game of strategic strategy. It's where you set your ships and boats against your opponent. Your opponent's right there in front of you, but they can't see your screen. And of course, you start calling letters and numbers. You start taking out their ships. But he's right there in front of you, the opponent, the challenger. You guys start just taking each other out. And that's the whole process of this game, is take someone out. Either the enemy's going to win or you're going to win. And we like winning, right? Am I full room of losers or no? You like to win? I'm kidding. I love you guys. And life can be that way. We're going to have battles. You know what's funny is I studied this sermon, and I'm glad my family's here to witness this. I found pictures of my nemesis, of those opponents I had in my life growing up. And some of you, if not all of you, also have pictures of your so-called enemies or opponents or colleague challengers, if I may call them. And I found a picture of my enemies, and I believe it's right there. Those were my challengers growing up. That was back in the hair day. That's my family. Remember, I've told you I have nine. I'm nine. There it is. I didn't want to leave without you guys believing me how many are in my family. My beautiful mom's right here up front. God bless her heart, man. She put up with all nine of us. It was a battle in the house every day. It's my turn in the restroom. That's my towel. This is my turn. That's my plate. That's my cup. It's my turn to turn on the TV. It's my turn to watch the cartoons first. It's not my turn to throw out the trash. I don't want to clean my room. I don't want to go to school. Right? Those are my opponents. Can you see me in there somewhere? The guy with the biggest smile. With hair. They got longer, too. My sisters, look at them, all ladies, whipping it out there. I told my sister, she usually sits in the back. Mary, oh, there she is. Hi, sister. I didn't think she was here, but she was bold enough to show up. She's in it. Rosie's in it. I'm going to pull them all out. My brother Fernie's right there to my right. He's been here a few times. Keep him in your prayers. He's the one that's struggling. The atheist brother, the oldest one, the one on the left, Steve, that's him. Pray for him. God's got a hold of him. God's going to deliver him. And I've been believing for them. They're coming. They're coming. Amen. But man, I had some battles with them. And my sister over here in the far left, she's the oldest. Even the one in the pink, Patty, they used to beat me up. I didn't like that. Like, mom, I come to mom. Mom, leave them alone. I grew up between girls, so I had to be tough. My older brothers, the two on the far left, Bobby and Steve, when they were in high school, I was a little kid, 7, 8 years old, they take me to Glamis to watch the drag strips. They used to have race cars out there in the sand, big old cars, and I'd sit there, whoa, and these cars going by, and one time they took me, and I'm watching, and then it's over, and I turn around, they're gone. They went and hid, but, oh, man, I cried and yelled, and the people are like, what's wrong with it? Where's his mother? And they're back there in the bush laughing at me. They came out. That's okay, bro. We're just playing a game on you. They always did that to me. I used to like to run. My mom lives over there in Brawley in the east side area by a canal. And they used to go. My brothers used to were in track in high school. So I'm like, please take me. Okay, you're going to go. So I'd go with my brothers and run about a quarter mile run over there and back. And they just take off. I think that's why I became a good runner, because I had to catch them, which I never did. They'd come back and drag me because I'd be crying and afraid. Those are the battles I had growing up. But it didn't stop there. Then we become adults. And this is where I'm going to step on everybody's toes. It's going to hurt. Then we start fighting against each other. The family starts splitting up. All those you see there, we would hang out at mom's all the time. Great times. All the grandkids, all 23 at the time, which there's probably 33 now with my mom. Grandkids. It was a beautiful time. But what happened? What happened? It got divided and split, and we didn't talk to each other for a while. So-and-so didn't talk to so-and-so. It was ugly. But it's true, and it happens. We're going to have those battles. And only God can restore that. Jesus Christ came and paid for all that. He's the healer. He's the restorer. Mainly a family. But I question, where did these battles come from? You can think of Garden of Eden right away. Adam and Eve was perfect harmony. God said everything was good. There wasn't a glitch in creation. Now there's battles in family. Home structures are being hit and in ruins, splits. Family homes have been getting hit and sunk by the enemy since the day of creation. Where do these battles come from? Where did it originate? I know it gets quiet now because it hurts talking about the family, how they can be split up and not talk to your own siblings. A lot of it's not us. Part of the times it could be human. But let's find out. I did some investigating. See, the first battle waged by the enemy, the devil, Satan, was not against people. It was against God himself, the very first battle. But think of this. God created this beautiful angel. And I'm sure Lucifer at the time hung out with God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, all the angels. They had meetings and they hung out. This angel hung out in heaven with God as well. The fallen angel, the enemy, our enemy, the enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ and the enemy of truth hung out with God before anything. And I'm sure there was a time God had a meeting and he might not have been included. And God said, now let us make man in our image. And I'm sure he showed up late and he's like, I didn't get the email. How come I wasn't at this meeting? Facebook, something. What are you doing, God? Don't you know I'm part of your group? He found pride in him. It was in his plan to be there. God has plans for us. And sometimes they're not our plans the way we want them. He's going to do it his way. So where did this first battle begin? The first battle begins this, here, the first battle against God. Look at Revelations 12, 7 through 9. Then a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels had to fight a war with the serpent. The serpent and his angels fought, but it was not strong enough. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. The huge serpent was thrown down. The ancient snake named Devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, was thrown down to earth. His angels were thrown down with it. So guess where all the battle came now? After he couldn't take over heaven. God kicked him out. He's here and he's been here. He's very smart. The Bible calls him cunning. He's tactical. He doesn't just come in front and go, whoa, I'm the devil. Oh, you're all scared. Oh, no, 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 no. He starts slowly. He'll put something here, say something there. He'll slowly come to you. He's cunning. And there's times he'll just throw all the bombs out and take your ship out. There's been some evil acts committed in this world. People slaughtered and tortured and burned and bombed and nuked. That's probably from him himself, from Satan, straight direct hit. But sometimes he'll come to us subtly with those little things we like that we shouldn't be doing, those skeletons we like to hide in our closet of our heart. He'll just let you say, it's okay. He's smooth. How's that song go? Smooth operator. Remember that song? Well, for some of us, remember that song? He's a smooth operator. I'm not a singer. I'm a drummer. He's smooth, man. Come on, just a little bit. It's okay. No one's watching. Just go for it. He's subtle. Sin comes in slowly. But then he'll make you think about it and want it more. The more he plays it in your mind, he throws those darts at us. He'll play with you, man, till you fall for it. So what happened to Lucifer? Why did he rebel? Why did he rebel? Let's look at Ezekiel 28, 13 through 15. You were in Eden, God's garden. You were covered with every kind of precious stone, red quartz, topaz, crystal, beryl, onyx, gray quartz, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald. Your settings and your sockets were made of gold when you were created. I appointed an angel to guard you. He even had a bodyguard. I didn't read that till this week. He had a bodyguard. I appointed an angel to guard you. You were in God's holy mountain. You walked among the fiery stones. Your behavior was perfect from the time you were created until evil was found in you. There he is, this most beautiful angel. I want to believe it was God's one of the first angels he created. He was immaculate. He had bling, man. I believe I put a picture together. I kind of try to show you what he might have looked like. And I like that picture because I like his face. It's all proudful. That reminds me of me when I was in these gangs. There's a friend here tonight. You have to stand all hard like that. Orale, say, what's up? I got you, man. Don't mess with me. We're all proudful. Hey, man, watch out. When I learned to fight when I was in high school and I got tougher, then I started beating my sisters up, which I'm not proud of. Then they didn't mess with me. I was like, go to my sister. You want to mess with me? You want to mess with me? No, it's brother. We got no, we're good. We're good. I started lifting weights. What a lie. But look at that. He was a beautiful, and all those stones are all the stones in the Bible. I looked them up and I pasted as best as I could, but all those stones were on him. And when it says its sockets were made of gold, a lot of scholars, and I believe too, he would open his wings and these gold pipes with timbrels and cymbals would make music. He controlled all of heaven, so to speak. And God would tell him, look, Lucifer, you're going to come behind me. You're like the light show and the music. You're the worship leader. And he'd come behind God, and they'd worship him. And that's when he thought, you know what? I got a little group following me. I think I can take this God out. I'll be God. And sometimes, folks, bling bling will catch your attention. Something he'll put in your before your eyes will draw you to that attention. Then you want to be your God of that style, that thing that's making you fall short. That's what he uses. And folks, he knows all of our weaknesses. He knows us since we were little. He'd send all his minions to go visit us, to attack us. A lot of times our little children were afraid at night because they're there. And as Christians, that's why you should pray for your children. Go in their room at night and pray with them. Read a scripture. There's a spiritual force at work that people won't want to believe. You know what's the biggest lie the world has believed up till now as well? That Satan has horns and he's ugly. Does that look ugly? That thing that tempts us, that makes us fall short, does it look ugly? No. It woos us. It draws you. But you must draw yourself to your knees and say, in Jesus' name, I rebuke that. In Jesus' name, I'm a joint heir with Jesus. That's not of me. You pray against it. You tell it. In Jesus' name, leave me alone. Because we all get lured. He's throwing a battle war at you all the time, constantly. If you're a Christian in this building today, he doesn't like you. And he doesn't like me. He hates anything with God. And he'll use beauty. He'll use things, material things. Mostly people. And mostly our own family. He's tactical. And he's merciless in his battles. He doesn't care. He doesn't care that the brother and sister don't talk to each other. He laughs at God. He says, look at your children. You created them in your image. Now look at them. It's a sad deal. I was guilty of that. And now all I want to do is bring love into my family home. Into my mother's home. Into my brothers and sisters you saw in the picture. I just want to show them Jesus. God has helped me to control my mouth, my attitude, my language, my character in front of them so they can see Jesus. There's no other way they're going to see Jesus if you're not practicing his word. If you're not applying it. If you're not getting on your knees and coming into that spiritual battle that you have the power to do. You have power in you. Satan is powerful, but you got Jesus Christ. The Bible says the demons trembled at his presence. People don't believe in Jesus. The demons did. That's how bold this world has gotten away from there's a devil and there's demons. To believe there isn't. We mock God. We make fun of God. We sin against God. Yet demons tremble at just the name of Jesus. Do you tremble at the name of Jesus? Is there times you can get on your knees or sit down, however you pray, and just tremble and just really pray? Really feel his presence, you're going to feel God. You're going to fear some trembling there. You'll feel it. But you're going to feel a peace. It's not a fearful presence. The enemy has a fearful presence. It makes you want to look over your shoulder. When God shows up, he just grabs you. You don't have to look over your shoulder because there's peace there. If you're in the middle of a storm, God is there. If you're battling something you think will never change, you're in the middle of the storm, but you're not alone. Jesus is there. Remember on the boat, they thought they were going to drown? Jesus is asleep, man. He's getting some Z's. They had the audacity to go wake up the King of Glory and all creation. No, we're going to drown. Guys, 5 more minutes. Hold on. He gets a, gosh, what's wrong? I'm here. But just for you, watch this. Storm, be still. Can you say that in your prayer? In Jesus' name, storm, be still. Is it going to stop instantly? Probably not. But in time, he just wants you to go to him. He wants you to leave those little idols and things that Satan's using, the enemy, to lure you. He was beautiful, and his tactics haven't stopped. For most men, it's, of course, women that struggle. With women, well, maybe it's control and power. It's biblical. Because when God told the woman, you're only going to love your man, you're going to want to control him, but he's going to have authority over you as a team. See? Women want to control the men. And you can, but be mutual. Come to agreement. Talk about it. Don't fight about it. Don't curse at each other. Don't stop talking to each other all day because they didn't do what you wanted. Sit down and settle it. The enemy loves to do that. He's right there laughing at both of you. Ah, look at you over there. You're mad because you couldn't find the remote. You're mad because he keeps leaving the hamper open. Ah. It's funny, but little things at home will trigger the biggest fights. And on top of that, you're fighting about the hamper and the remote. Then other things, he brings other things from the past. Hey, remember, tell him about last week. Remember when he didn't wash the car? Hey, tell her about last week when she didn't have dinner ready. You know, he'll start throwing them at you. And that remote and hamper argument turns into a fight you were fighting about 2 years ago. That's what he does. He's cunning. He stirs it up. And he loves to split family. And you know why? Because he had his chance. He was in the garden. He wanted more. But he had it good. But God had to split him out. So he causes the same thing, division and split. Second point is, where was the second battle? Now we know it was in heaven. And then he brought it to earth. Okay, I can't take you out, God, but those are yours. Watch this. I'm going to go get them. I'm going to go get them. He does that. The second battle, it was against God's first humans. Look at Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? What's he attacking right there? First of all, God's authority. God is a God of order. But mainly, you know what he's attacking? The marriage. Where was the husband? Where are most husbands today? Sad to say, and I'm not sugarcoating this sermon, not because it's my last one, but it's truth. Probably 60 to 70% of homes all across the United States, 60 to 70%, I ran just by moms. Fathers are gone. Sad. Satan has removed the father image from home because he wants to remove the father image of God for us. You see how he works? You take the father image away, the kids ain't going to listen. Not that the moms don't do a great job, and God bless you again, single moms that have been doing this or have done this. God bless you. You keep it up. And if you plan to remarry, you pray for a godly man that loves Jesus. Don't go for anything. Don't go for topaz or quartz or onyx. He's going to look like a gem. Oh, he's the one. He'll take care of my kids. No, he won't. Look at his heart. And if you start dating them, another great tip I always share with women that you're looking for a new husband, go out, start going out with them. Maybe the third date, throw something that'll probably get him upset. See how he acts when he's mad. Get to know him. You want the one that's going to just humble before you and say, all right, that was wrong, okay. Where are the men today? I was one of those. I was a poor dad, a poor partner. I've had several marriages because I wasn't following God. See, the enemy had me. Once I started reading in here what a wife is to a husband, then things will start clicking for the good and vice versa. Women, read the scriptures, what it says about a godly woman. Men, we have to love our wives. We don't know how. That's why Jesus says, men, love your wives as Christ loved the church. It wasn't wired in us. I try to find a new love every day for my wife, some format of, even through a text. And we talked about this the other day, and we do this. I'm going to say it. She probably doesn't want me to. We even flirt with Songs of Solomon with each other. There's honey under your tongue and all that stuff. Hey, we're married. It's totally right before God. He wanted to put Songs of Solomon in there. And it's mostly for the men. Because a lot of us don't know how to hold our wife. Put your hand behind her neck and look at her and tell her, honey, you're so beautiful. After 20 years, gosh, honey, you're more beautiful. Because we ain't getting any more beautiful. And a lot of men think, you know what, honey, you don't got it going on no more. I'm going to just, you know, stay over there. You stay over there. Keep looking in the mirror. That's wrong, man. You ain't getting any younger. Love on each other. I'll guarantee you this through God's word. Your marriage and home will change. Because if you show this to your kids, imagine how they're going to grow up. They go, oh, look, they're kissing, they're hugging. Ugh. Let me tell you, they're going to grow up. But they're going to see love. They're going to know what a godly couple should look like and act like and treat each other like and talk to each other like at home. Your kids see that. I don't care how old they are. They're smart, man. 3, 4, and 5, they know. You think they know. They act like they don't know, but they know. You show them the love of Christ in your home. Single fathers, you show them the love of Christ to your children. Single mothers, you keep showing them the love of Christ. The enemy will love to have your children and distort them and pervert them through their friends out there, through things on media, which I'm going to get to in a minute. None of this is in my notes. I don't know why I'm saying this, but we need to hear it. The marriages are getting tore up, man. Satan is playing battleship with all of them. He's just taking them out, year after year after year, generation after generation, knocking families out. Up till now, there is no dads to be found in homes, in most. You still love me? I love you guys. But God wanted me to say all this. I have to. Why would I sugarcoat it? Why would I tell you something I haven't lived? Lord, I don't know what to tell them. Jesus said this. Tell them what I've done for you. Some of you in this room probably don't know how to witness or afraid or ashamed. But yet you're here. Take what you're learning here and what the Word of God says and tell them what Jesus is doing in your life. Guys, I didn't ever went to church. I didn't even like church. But now I like going there, all the worship, the messages. God is speaking to me. That's all you need to say. They might even think you're crazy or they're going to receive it. Remember, we live in a pretty perverted world. But I guarantee you, most of those people that don't know Christ, you know, they're hurting inside. They're looking for something and they smile and they crack. Their smiles crack because they don't have Jesus like you do. You're the salt of the earth. You create the conversations. You give it flavor. You should. You're a light, a city on a hill. They see Jesus in you, starting in your home. And Lucifer, in all his beauty, messed up. And God had to exclude him. So he came and hit us. Adam and Eve had it good. They hung out with God in the Garden of Eden. Just before they sinned. Remember it says, God's walking in the garden in the cool of the day. oh, I can't wait for heaven. You hear that? In the cool of the day, it's not going to be hot in heaven like right now out there. It's going to be perfect in heaven. But it was like that once. And God hung out with them. Hey, how's it going? Yeah. Hey, you guys are in love, huh? Yeah, you guys look good. God, look at me for once. Adam and Eve were probably all over each other. But they hung out with God because that was God's love. And it went this far. When God hung out with them, he possibly warned them about the dangers, which it is biblical. It's all yours, guys. All for you. I love you. But just that one thing over there, that one tree, don't go there. That's going to cause you some problems. But I'll let you choose. That's why Satan, I believe, when they were in heaven and God said, I'm creating humans. Lucifer must have been there and said, humans, what are those? He says, those are my creation. Who do they belong to? God. Well, Lucifer, they have a free choice and free will. Really? That stayed in his head. So when he got kicked out, guess where he came here? To control us. In the Bible, he's known as a covering angel. He'll come and cover you with lies. Try to scare you. You're greater than that. There's a power in you. They tremble at his name. Remember that. There's a light in you, and his name is Jesus Christ, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Fear God, the Bible says. So he warned them, and they enjoyed each other. And this is my favorite part of that scene in the garden when they were enjoying each other. God says, and you guys are going to rule everything. Rule over all the animals together. Man didn't say, okay, honey, I'm going to get the dinosaurs, you get the cows and the horses. No, he didn't say that. He said, you will rule all the animals. He spoke to both of them, not just Adam. It went for both of them. They were going to rule everything together. When's the last time you as a couple or you as a home were in unity, ruling together? Coming together in unity, making plans, making decisions, having discussions in unity together. Coming to at least a final agreement at the end of the day or at the end of the evening. When's the last time you had that kind of ruling in your home? Think about it. Rhetorical question. I work on that every day with my wife when I get home. I want it to be wonderful, beautiful, make her laugh, help her as much as I can, even though my day was long, stressful. It doesn't matter. When I leave my work behind me, it stays there. A lot of us bring work home. And yeah, I share a little bit of my day. You know what, honey, it was like this and that, but let's enjoy each other now. God wants us to enjoy each other. And they ruled the animals together until the serpent came in. And what was his mission? To attack God's creatures and order. To attack God's creatures and order. You know why I say that? Because God is a God of order. Satan attacks God's order. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:3. God has an order. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the wife is her husband. And the head of Christ is God. Let me break it down for you. Husbands. I'm not picking on you. I'm telling you what the Bible says. I've always practice this, and I've learned it in my years in ministry. I love meeting married couples, and I like talking more sometimes to the woman, or I look at her simply because of that scripture. However the wife is acting is how the man has made her. Not all his fault, because there was an influencer. Remember the enemy. God has an order, and Satan came to pervert it. See, the head of God is Jesus. Automatic, we know that. And then the head of man, in your home, your man should look like Jesus. How many wives can say amen that your husband looked like Jesus at home? Don't say that, please. Never mind. Never mind. That came out. I was thinking it. Rhetorical. Men, we need to reflect Christ because that's our head. We just read it. Your head should reflect Jesus. What kind of Jesus have you been at home? Husbands, men? And the woman, that's a man's head. I've always told this to the men. I believe I've said it before. Men, your wife, your partner, she's a crown. She's your crown God gave you. Do you tend to it? At the end of the day, do you polish it and put it up there and just love on it, take care of her? Think of her as a crown, a treasure God gave you. Many wives are broken and tore up inside nowadays. I can see them. They can smile at me and say hello to me. Otherwise, I see it. God shows that. But God can restore that. There's somewhere in the address of Psalms or Proverbs. I can't remember the address right now. But God says, if you don't have a mother or father, I'll be your father, your mother, your brother, your sister. You call on Jesus. You call on God. He'll restore that healing, that hurt. See, God has an order. My prior wives were probably angry and always yelling at me and whatever because of my doing. I created that. The comedian said it well. Happy wife, happy life. Husbands, you want a nugget to have a pretty good marriage? And it's not an easy one. Men, put yourself second. It's that easy. Put yourself second. And women, you can do it too. You probably had a long day and he's acting kind of cruddy. Put yourself second. And you guys will be challenging each other. No, I'm second. And then I'm second and I'm second. Then you become one. Then you can actually take your wedding rings, put them together, and they look as one. The Bible says you'll become one. That's how it works. Put yourself second. The serpent was smart. And he loves to attack. God gave Adam and Eve to rule over all the animals. Do you ever notice what Satan came as to talk to Eve? Just after he said, you will rule over all the animals, what is it coming? A serpent. Why would she listen to an animal she has rule over of? And secondly, animals weren't supposed to talk. Why is she talking to him? She should have said, well, you better talk to the hen, dude. I don't know you. You shouldn't even be talking. Honey, come here. Look, he's talking. But no, the wife just followed through. And here comes the husband. Yes, honey, I'll take some too. Didn't even question it. Sometimes as couples, we can blow it together. And it gets ugly then. The battles are on. Get the game out. We're going to play some Battleship. Maybe you should buy that game when you guys want to fight and argue. Take that Battleship game out. Distress it there. I'm a drummer by gifted by God, and I like to work out. And if I have a bad day, I greet my wife, hug her and kiss her, and hug her and kiss her, and hick her and kiss her. And then I go work out. I let it out there. Find something. Don't attack your partner. Go to somewhere and pray real quick. Even if you're driving home, and you're ready, I'm going to tell her, I'm going to let her have it. I'm going to let him have it. That's how we drive home sometimes. That's where you see road rage. Get out of my way. You want to get home and get at it. Shouldn't be that way. You should be driving home and say, God, help me. Give me words of wisdom, God. Humble me. And if what I shouldn't tell them, keep my mouth shut. Hold my tongue. We don't do that. Satan comes in cunningly. He makes us fight. So he came as a serpent. Satan's plan was brilliant and immediate victory for evil. And what did this cause when he deceived them? More than anything, when they bit the fruit and sinned and rebelled against God and listened to that lying devil, what did it cause? You know what it caused? Up till now, death. We're all going to die now. Did you know in the beginning, humans were created never to die? We probably could right now be hanging out with Adam and Eve, Joshua, Isaiah. There was nothing to pervert it. Nothing died in the garden. It was perfect. When God said it was done, finished, it's perfect, you got it, nothing was going to die. We're going to live forever. So God had, he already had it predestined and pre-planned, but he made the plan to send Jesus to give us eternal life somewhere else, not here, because it's been perverted here. The enemy has came in and distorted creation. You see? So that's when Satan thought, oh, free will, I'm going to go down there. I will show them. And you know what he attacks the most? That free will. Satan attacks your free will the most because you get to choose. Deuteronomy, somewhere in Deuteronomy. I don't know the address now, but they're coming up. It says you choose life or death. The road's right there, fork in the road. God's saying you choose it, life or death. Right now we're going to die. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your heart, when we take our last breath, wham, we're with Jesus. We're in the presence of God. Because Jesus already died for that death. And the enemy has deceived many atheists, many stargazers, many other beliefs that believe this is the life and that's it. Many believe you're going to die and go have 12 virgins. Many believe you're going to go to all these paradises. And many believe you're going to have all these other gods, that you got all these roads to all these gods. One way, Jesus says, there is only one way to God. And he says that is through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. Those are Jesus' words. We're all going to die one day. But do you know Jesus as your Savior? Are you ready? Because the enemy's hitting. And he's going to keep hitting us. He's going to keep on keeping on. But as long as we keep pressing and fighting that good fight, carry your armor ready, your weapon. This is your weapon. The Bible is your weapon. And it deflects everything and it protects you. You start eating on it, feeding on it, and living it. You'll watch some of those darts just bounce off. I have some bad days, but I can still come home and greet her and make her laugh because they're like ping pong balls sometimes when the enemy hits. Some will get in. You know which ones get in? When I have those dumb thoughts from my past, all those bad things I did that I'm not proud of that I've shared with you, that I've done as a non-believer. Those are those darts that get in sometimes. I'm like, oh, God, forgive me. I thought that thing again. Help me. Right away, just say, God, oh, there's that thought again. Help me. He'll attack you. And why? Because we have free will. God didn't want robots. How would he be God if we were robots? Yes, Lord, we'll go to church. Yes, Lord, I'll listen to my wife. Yes, Lord, I'll cook for my husband. He didn't make robots. He gave us a free choice. Teenagers, little kids, you have a choice right now to listen to your parents and what they tell you about God or not. But it's your future. It's your choice, young ones. Adults, it's your chance now to at least make the best of it while we're still alive to show them the love of Christ and grow more, get hungry more, go to church, get plugged in with the Bible study, read and pray. I can't say it enough. I pray when I'm not here no more that you remember that I've shared with you and Jeremiah and Jeremiah told you, read. You have to read. I wasn't a reader. I didn't make it through high school. 20 years went by. I never studied. Now I can't stop reading because I love reading because God gave us knowledge to read. That was a lot of words. Read. Read the Bible. Get knowledge from God. I couldn't read very much. I didn't know how to speak, enunciate, let alone write and type. Look what God has done. Why? Because he made me hungry. Because I tell him, God, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Make me hungrier. Give me more of you, God. And when I'm praying sometimes and I feel the presence, I'm a little fear of him. And I give me more. Give me more, God. Show me more of you. Touch me. You need to do that as Christians. You can't just flippantly live your life as a Christian and do whatever you want. In a sense, you can, but that's your choice. And that's how your life will lead you to. Are you going to have battles every day? Can you conquer them in Jesus' name? The third one and last one. I try to keep it short, I promise, but it didn't work. Third, last point. The third battle was against God's children. Revelation 12:17. The third battle and final, which was against God's children. Revelation 12:17. The serpent became angry with the woman. So it went away to fight with her and her other children. The ones who keep God's commands and hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. So if you're in a battle, praise God. God is in your plan and you're in his. If there's nothing going on in your life, be careful. You got to have some kind of opposition. Because if we never had opposition, and then it was always beautiful, and you were always happy, and you had everything you needed, and everything was perfect, like in the garden, would you need God at all? You wouldn't need God. I don't know what this is, Mihai. I know she's laughing back there. I don't know what this is. It's on tape, too. Oh, great. My son's going to see this going, oh, my gosh, my dad's lost it. He's ballerina now. You see, God will do that. He can heal you. He has the power to let you win battles. And the attack didn't end with the first family. His tactics continue today. Satan injects poison between husbands, wives, and children. And he has a massive track record to prove it. He is the final home wrecker of the homes for those that believe and follow Christ and non-believers as well. But majority, he already has control of those that don't believe because he doesn't need them anymore. He has them in control. He's going to attack God's children. Couldn't come against God. Couldn't win in the garden, which he did. Sin came in, and then now he's going to hit the rest of the generations from Adam and Eve up till now. He is the home wrecker of our homes, and he always wants to cause havoc and cause battles between you. Satan, from the beginning of time, has been tempting our free will. Why? Because you destroy the family, society crumbled. The enemy has been attacking the home and the marriages. Why? Because to destroy the family, you destroy, and the society crumbles. How is it today, folks? What do you see today? The same restrooms for guys and girls? Come on. Marriages. It's out there. People getting blown up in other countries. People dying for the gospel across the world. Me and my wife have been seeing a lot of Christian documentaries that are going on now for missionaries. Man, it's awful out there. And these people go with joy and love. Some don't make it back. They die. They kill them. In Japan, they got to hide to have Bible studies or church. They go underground. We got it made, folks. Reach your family now. Show them Christ. Because the enemy only came to seek, kill, and destroy us. But Jesus came to give us life and life eternal. What do you choose? Today, how does he attack and battle God's children? Through secular media and internet. He's molding our lives. I brought up a picture of what the world can look up today. I believe it's in there. That's what we see. Everyone's on screens. I mean, it's okay to be on it most of the time, but if you're on it like this most of the time, are you like texting someone and praying with someone or sending a Bible scripture or reading a verse? If you're doing this, don't do it driving, please. I'm just exaggerating here. But while you're driving, don't do this. It's dangerous. But that's all you see. I like the one of that little kid right here. Look. Down right there. That's who he's after mainly. He's grabbed to the screen. I wish we can look like that in front of our laptop or our phones reading scripture. Just wow, God, yes. You are in control. The enemy is a liar, and I'm a joint heir. I'm an ambassador. I am the head, not the tail. I'm above, not below. I am the apple of your eye. You think of me all the time. Thank you. Everything I just said is just verses I've read. I don't know the addresses, but he lets me remember what it says in paraphrasing. You can use those words. Let him use you, speak to you through his word. And the enemy is using all media that he can. Music, television shows mainly. The sitcoms show nothing but the kids running the home and showing perverted stuff and sex and same-sex marriage, two men living with a woman, on and on. Media. Media is taking over our kids. But what are you letting them watch? What are you allowing them to watch? What are you letting go on in your home? And what does this cause? What does this cause? How does the enemy do this? Look what it causes in 2 Timothy. Tell me as I read this, or you read it on the screen, it doesn't sound like today, like right now's world. Look at 2 Timothy 2:3, and I'm almost done. 2 Timothy 2:3 reads, you must understand this. In the last days, there will be violent periods of time. People will be selfish and love money. They will brag, be arrogant, and use abusive language. They will curse their parents, show no gratitude, have no respect for what is holy, and lack moral affection for their families. They will refuse to make peace with anyone. They will be slanderers, lack self-control, be brutal, and have no love for what is good. They will be traitors. They will be reckless and conceited. They will love pleasure rather than God. They will appear to have a godly life, but they will not let its power change them. Stay away from such people. Tell me if that doesn't sound like today. So what's happening? The enemy's having a field day. See? Satan's on a rampage. And you know what? Some families have been taking some mighty hits, but they've stood their ground. You can be that family. He has destructed families, but they didn't give up. They're still serving Jesus. And this is what I believe the Holy Spirit is revealing to us today. This is what the Holy Spirit will tell us today, 1 John 5:19 through 21. We know that we are from God. You need to know that you're from God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we know the real God. We are in one who is real. His Son, Jesus Christ. This Jesus Christ is the real God and eternal life. Dear children, guard yourself from false gods. See, many people have fallen to the lies of this world and the lies this world offers and gives. And that's where you're going to fall short. We need to believe in the God we believe in and serve Him and praise Him. Amen? Many families have been attacked harshly, but they keep standing their ground. So are you willing to make Jesus the captain of your ship? Are you willing to let Jesus control your life? Only Jesus can sink all the battleships Satan will attack you with. Only Jesus can win. Amen? Oh, did you get it? Man, I got it. I know there's an enemy and he hates us. But we serve a mighty king. His name is Jesus Christ and he's conquered death. What more do you want? He's conquered death. We're not going to die no more. We're going to go from this fleshly body to a celestial body. What more do we want? We should be rejoicing and glorifying and telling people about Jesus Christ and showing them love and bringing our families back together through the love of Christ. The battle has been won, guys. And we're going to sing about that right now if the worship team comes up. Take this song and tell God that He's an awesome God and that He is in control of your life. Don't claim defeat. Claim victory. Know that the Bible says you are more than conquerors. And the devil's defeated it all. The battle's been won by Jesus Christ. Amen? You need to believe this morning. So stand with me and I'll close in prayer. I'll close in prayer.
Fix my eye.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.